Mercy and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of the Bible that we'll consider for our sermon text today is found in the epistle reading, which we heard read before, and God has an important lesson to teach us from that text. Now remember, the theme of our worship has been this simple fact: I believe in God's power to forgive. By the grace of God, everyone in this room believes that Jesus Christ has washed away all our sins and that that forgiveness is a certainty. Now in our readings, we saw King David in godly sorrow embrace that forgiveness even for the horrible sin in his life. We saw that woman in the gospel reading with her tears wash Jesus' feet and dry them with her hair because she was so grateful for that forgiveness. Everyone in this room knows exactly what was going on in their hearts. By the grace of God, everyone in this room today knows that we have a God, for Jesus' sake, who washes away all our sins. But the thing you have to know if we're going to understand the text and the lesson that God teaches us today in the epistle reading, the thing you have to know is that that belief that is in our hearts in the forgiveness of sins, that's a miracle. A miracle that only God can work. All of us are born with a capacity to regret our sin. We all regret getting caught when we sin. We all regret the consequences of our sinful action. But to regret that we've offended the God that made us, to regret that we violated the purpose of our creation, only God can work that kind of godly sorrow through the power and miracle of his law. And to believe that Jesus Christ is our substitute, that God punished him instead of punishing us, and that now all sin is gone because of what he did, only God can work that kind of faith through the miracle and power of the gospel message. And because God has worked that fact in us, that miracle, you and I can sit here today and confidently say, we believe that God forgives us all our sins for Jesus' sake. And that prepares us, recognizing that miracle, prepares us to understand the lesson that God is going to teach us in the epistle reading today. The simple lesson is this: God's forgiveness to us produces the fruit of forgiveness in our lives. And there are two truths that lie within this lesson that we're going to explore based on the Corinthian text. First, God's forgiveness must produce the fruit of forgiveness. Has to. Because God's forgiveness changes us into his forgiving people. Now, this is the truth that God wants to show us, and we turn our attention, first of all, to the first truth within it. God's forgiveness must produce the fruit of forgiveness. This is the truth that the Corinthian Christians lost sight of in our text. You see, they were like us today, forgiven. They knew God forgave them all their sins. They knew Jesus paid for every sin they committed. They knew that that forgiveness was a certainty. And when they got together to worship, they sang hymns just like we do, praising God for that and celebrating the forgiveness that was theirs. But these same Christians, based on the verses that came before our text, did not show that forgiveness to one another. That's what Paul writes to them about. He found out that they were treating one another shamefully. They were cheating each other. They were harming each other. They were arguing with each other. And when the disputes grew so strong that they couldn't settle them themselves, then they were going to the heathen courts and asking the heathen judges to settle it for them. Here were Christians who were forgiven by God, but they were producing no fruit of forgiveness in their own life. God forgave them, but they wouldn't forgive one another. No fruit. So the Apostle Paul writes to them in the first verse of our text and says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Paul is telling them, you realize, don't you, there are people in this world who don't live with the forgiveness of God. They are the unrighteous ones. And they show that they don't have forgiveness in the way they treat one another, by the selfishness in their hearts, by the pride in their hearts, by the greed that drives them. They step on one another and push one another aside and demand their own way and refuse to forgive anyone for any infractions that occur in their lives. That's how they live, Paul says, the unrighteous. And his point, of course, is that's what you're doing. There's no fruit of forgiveness in your life, and that's endangering the forgiveness that God won for you. Paul puts it this way. He says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. We should probably make a comment about the verses 9 and 10. That some people take this verse out of context. God lists 9 sins here. Some people have a tendency to grab hold of this verse, pull it out of the text, and say, God is saying that those 9 sins are the worst sins anybody can commit, and if somebody's committing them, you're going to go to hell for sure, and you all ought to tell them that. Some people use the verse that way, but that's not what God is saying. God's talking to the Christians in Corinth about the way they're living, and God makes this list of offensive actions to show the Christians in Corinth that those are the people that you're walking with. That's how you're living. Like these people who don't appreciate the forgiveness of God and don't embrace it. That's what you're doing when you don't forgive one another. So the Apostle Paul gives them that simple warning at the beginning. Do not be deceived. Because that's what was going on there. The unforgiving attitude within the people in Corinth was not an accident. It was the result of the attack of Satan himself. You see, Satan hates the gospel message, but he has no power to remove it from the earth. Satan can't stop God from showing us the gospel. He can't stop God from using the power of that gospel to touch our hearts and to teach us to embrace the forgiveness of God. The devil's powerless to prevent that. But what the devil can and does do is he attacks the fruit that flows from that forgiveness. Because the devil knows if he can prevent fruit from growing, and fruit has to grow if the forgiveness is there, he can destroy the people's hold on the forgiveness that God won. That's what he was doing in Corinth. He was telling them, yes, your sins are forgiven. Jesus washed them all away. You have no problem with God. It's a sure thing. Hallelujah. And so it doesn't matter how you treat one another. You don't have to forgive each other. You can cheat one another. You can harm one another. You can hold grudges. You can want revenge. All those things are fine because, you see, God has forgiven you, and that kind of behavior doesn't even affect the forgiveness God shows. That's a lie. Paul says, don't be deceived by that. Forgiveness must produce the fruit of forgiveness in your life. There's no other way to do it. And that same message God wants us to understand today. You see, every one of us has heard the devil whisper that lie in our own ears. It happens right here in the house of God every week. Our pastors stand in this pulpit every week and tell us the wonderful news about a God who sent his Son to wash away all sins. And no matter how guilty we're feeling, no matter how far we've strayed from God's word, when we come into church on that Sunday and hear our pastors proclaim that truth, it thrills our heart and becomes our certainty. That's so. But the devil's right here too, whispering in our ear, telling us, it's true. You're forgiven. Nothing is expected of you. Jesus did it all for you. All your sins are gone. Therefore, it doesn't matter how you treat one another. Doesn't matter, you see, because you're forgiven. And how you treat one another has nothing to do with what God did over here, because Jesus did it all. That's Satan's lie. If you don't think that's an effective lie and has some effect on our hearts, you ought to take another look. Because if you are like I am, and I think you are, then you, as well as I, have an amazing capacity for remembering the people who have harmed us. Chances are, some of us came to God's house today with a list in our hearts, a list of the people who have done us wrong that we just can't forget. There may be some of us here today who walked into God's house with with hurt feelings calling for revenge because someone has mistreated us. There may even be some here who have people in their lives who they won't forgive, won't talk to ever again because they've so offended us and harmed us and done us wrong. And then we sit in God's house and we hear how God forgives us and we sing hymns of joy over that forgiveness while we withhold forgiveness for people in our own lives. The fruit that must flow from that forgiveness. And God comes to us today and tells us this. The forgiveness of God must produce the fruit of forgiveness in our life. Jesus told a story about that you may remember, the parable of the unmerciful servant. Summarizing, the servant owed a great debt to his master, say the king. Say $1 million. Jesus doesn't specify the size of the debt, but it was huge. He couldn't pay it. So the master heard the servant's plea for mercy and forgave him the whole debt. And then the servant went out from the presence of his master, found another servant, owed him a small debt, say $10. And he wouldn't forgive him the debt. And he had him punished and thrown in jail because he didn't pay. And when the master in Jesus' story heard of this action, he called that servant back and punished him severely because he wouldn't show mercy. Now that story you may have heard, but it's the words at the end of that story that catch our eye. Matthew 18, Jesus says at the end of that story, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." The forgiveness of God that we celebrate today must produce the fruit of forgiveness in our life. There's no other way. It has to. And that's a sobering message for people like you and I. We live in a harsh world. There are people that are going to offend us. There are people that are going to do us wrong. There are people that are going to hurt our feelings just like we are people who hurt them. And in those moments, when that hurt is upon us, we'll find it so easy to make a list, so easy to want revenge, so easy to carry a grudge. How can we possibly then produce the fruit Jesus is talking about? When you think of that thought, it's time to remember the second truth that lies in the lesson that God is teaching us. God's forgiveness changes us. Here's where God teaches us something about ourselves that we may not readily always know. The fact is, when God comes to us with the power of his gospel and works faith in our hearts and teaches us to embrace the forgiveness of God and celebrate it, that miracle alters us. We become God's forgiven children, and in that moment, we also become God's forgiving children. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians. He said, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come." The gospel of God changes us, makes us into what we never were before, sets us free. When it comes to forgiveness, sets us free to forgive one another. That's the message that Paul brought to the Corinthians when they were wrestling with this challenge. He says to them, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You used to be like those unbelievers," he says, "that lived with selfishness in their heart, demanded their way, and wanted revenge. But that's not who you are now," he says. "You were washed. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed away all your sins. You were washed in the waters of baptism, and God worked faith in your heart. You embrace the forgiveness of God, and you know it's a certainty. You're justified," he said. "Every day you live at peace with God. You know he forgives you all your sins, even though you don't deserve it. This is now who you are. You," God says, "are sanctified." That word means set apart. God has pulled you out of the world, in effect, put you over here and said, "Now you're different than you were before, different from everyone else in the world, set free to be God's forgiving children." That's what the Corinthians had lost sight of. That's what Paul reminds them of. And that's the truth that God has brought us together this morning to impress upon our hearts. We look like everybody else in the world when we come to church on a Sunday. We're no different from them. born in the same selfishness, born with the same feelings that are so easily hurt, born with such a natural tendency to want to hold grudges and seek revenge when people do us wrong. But that's not the full truth about us. The people in this room are people who know that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. We are the forgiven children of God. And that truth sets us apart from the whole world and sets us free. Free to forgive one another. Free to be a people who embrace one another and forgive as God has forgiven us. We are not people who carry grudges. That's not who we are. We're the forgiven and forgiving children of God. We are not people who make lists and remember long and hard all the people that did us wrong. We are people who know that God doesn't keep a list about us. So we're set free to forgive one another. And so on this Sunday morning, maybe it's time to revisit those lists that live in my heart and perhaps yours as well. God invited us here this morning to grab hold of those lists and tear them up. There's no room for that in our lives now. We've seen the forgiveness of God, and He set us free to forgive one another. Maybe that means it's a little longer journey on the way home from church today. You might have to make a stop on the way. Maybe there's somebody here in Appleton that you need to sit down with and tell them how you forgive them, because you are God's forgiving child. And maybe if they live further away, it's time to use that fancy phone that God has given you. Give them a call. Tell them we need to sit down and talk. I have something I want to share with you. And if the phone doesn't work, try that email thing. If they have a computer, know how to use it. Use carrier pigeon if you need to. But the point is, it needs tending. We have a privilege that God has given us. We are God's forgiven children. And God has set us free in that truth to forgive everyone in our lives. Jesus thinks this is such an important freedom that He has taught us to pray about it in the Lord's Prayer. Fifth petition, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. With those words, God is expressing this simple truth. We get the first part, forgive us our trespasses. Yep, asking God to forgive us. We have a God who forgives sin. But notice the next words, as we forgive those who trespass against us. He doesn't make the prayer to say, God, forgive us, and please teach me how to be a little more forgiving. That's not it. He doesn't say, please help me try to be forgiving. That's not it. He doesn't say, Lord, I'll forgive others just so you forgive me. He's not saying that either. He's expressing the truth that comes from forgiveness. Forgiveness must produce the fruit of forgiveness. It's the reality of our lives. And he's simply stating that reality. Forgive us our trespasses as we are now free to forgive the people in our lives because of what you've done for us. That's the freedom that's ours, to produce the fruit of forgiveness every day, which flows from the forgiveness that God has shown us. That's what makes this place a special place. And we want to share that truth with everyone who comes here. May Mount Olive always be a place where the forgiveness of God is obvious, announced from the pulpit to great joy in our hearts, and shared and practiced among us with all people, because God has set us free to be His forgiving children. Amen.